Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live from these United States of America here in Des Moines, Iowa, where we both work at Mercy College of Health Sciences. I'm the Senior Advisor for Mission Initiatives and the Director of the Center for Human Flourishing. Bud, what do you do out at the old Mercy College?
I'm the Associate Provost. I want to find a way to make my title longer.
That's right. You need to just add some stuff.
As important as yours, but...
That's it, because yours is actually much more important. The proof of this is that Bud actually worries and I get to, like, smoke in the lounge. They still love smoking in the lounge. That is not true, by the way.
No, that's very
not true at the health science colleges. Yeah. Yes, so just so you know. But underwritten by Mercy College, who yet again does not allow smoking in the lounge or anywhere on campus, as far as I know, just to make sure that everyone realizes that's a joke, mchs.edu, underwriting our show.
It's a big week this week, right, Bo, with Thursday evening.
Absolutely.
Coming upon us fast.
So that Director of Center for Human Flourishing, you've probably heard me say, well, we actually have something to do. So the honorary fellow, the inaugural honorary fellow, is Dr. Russell Hittinger, rightly famous for all the good work that he does. You may have read his work in First Things. He's on Vatican Academies. He's the real deal. He's going to be in town this Thursday at 6:30. But the biggest way that everybody can easily watch the show is by the lecture, his honorary fellowship lecture, is to watch on Zoom. It starts at 6:30, like I said, this Thursday. If you go to mchs.edu, so like Mercy College Health Science, mchs.edu/flourish, F-L-O-U-R-I-S-H, mchs.edu/flourish. There you can see more about the center, but most importantly, sign up for the Zoom link so that you can watch on Thursday at 6:30 as Dr. Russell Hittinger gives the inaugural honorary fellowship lecture, Intermediate Societies and as Key to Human Flourishing.
No, it's going to be a great lecture, and if Bo ever tries to give you the impression he doesn't like to work, don't believe him, because he not only like organized that entire event, but this week also appeared on EWTN, the Journey Home Network.
That's right.
So if you're a fan of The Uncommon Good, it's a fascinating glimpse into the spiritual journey of Bo Bonner. I think it can be found on EWTN's website, or if you like,
and the Coming Home Network.
The Coming
website.
Home Network, yeah. Journey Home, like I Google Journey Home, Oki,
yeah,
hilarious stories.
See, what's funny, right? Well, first of all, Bud was already on there talking about Newman's, and I think you mentioned me running out the door, so I really do appreciate that, Marcus Grody. I think it's funny that because Marcus sort of matches in some ways the energy of like who's in the room, but he also he gets he obviously zooms in on something. So for you, there was a ton of talk about Newman.
Yeah,
I jokingly was saying he was like, so when you were born, John Henry Newman, right? I was like, probably not in Nebraska, but yeah, the idea of like the Psalms and arguing, I think he picked up pretty quick that was a pretty big deal in the Bonner household.
Well, you guys did get into a fascinating discussion about philosophy and whether someone should study philosophy. That was fun for me. I think he was, I don't know, your angle on whether a young person should jump into philosophy, like, really intrigued him as well.
No, I know. It was pretty funny. It's great. They have a great operation going out there. My favorite thing about Marcus is, of course, he knows that this is an important thing that he's done for a while. But he also just loves his farm out in Ohio. It really is sort of it's a journey home when you become Catholic, but it's also a journey to sort of figure out how to get out there.
Well, I admire those Catholic figures like Jeff Cavins comes to mind, and then Marcus Grody, who, for Cavins, it's travel barbecue. Like, he does these
that's right
parish talks, but they're, you know, like when he goes to men's groups, they'll lead with like a barbecue truck, which is a great way to warm up the audience. But, you know, like, Cavins and then Marcus Grody doing great work on behalf of the church, but also just finding a way to, you know, like do what they really love, like Grody with the ranch.
And see, that's what we're going to talk about today. Mike Aquilina, very much a superstar of The Uncommon Good, doing what he loves, writing books, talking about St. Joseph. That's what we're going to talk about when he gets back, his new book, Friendship and Fathers. When we get back from the break, we'll talk to our good buddy, Mike Aquilina. Stick around. You'll not want to miss it. This is The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher here on Iowa Catholic Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Ladies, please join us for our women's conference, Spiritual Protection for Such a Time as This, hosted by Iowa Catholic Radio on Saturday, October 30th at the Embassy Suites downtown. The conference begins with Mass, followed by powerful national and local speakers who will give you the tools to spiritually protect yourself and your families. For more information and to register, go to iowacatholicradio.com or call 515-223-1150.
Basilica of St. John Choir presents Pasta for Pipes Sunday evening, November 7th, 4:45 social hour, 5:30 dinner, and the variety show starts at 6:15. Pasta for Pipes at the Basilica of St. John, Sunday, November 7th.
Join Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic United Financial Medicare experts on Friday, November 5th for a Medicare informational workshop at 11 a.m. or 4 p.m. at the new Iowa Catholic Radio location, 1355 50th Street, Suite 500 in West Des Moines. If you're 65 or older, it pays to do your homework, compare plans, and get a better understanding at this free Medicare educational workshop on Friday, November 5th at 11 a.m. or 4 p.m. Call Iowa Catholic Radio to RSVP at 515-223-1150. Space is limited.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for being a part of Iowa Catholic Radio. If you want to keep up with what we're all about, you can visit the various places that we reside on the internet, iowacatholicradio.com to listen live, donate, and check out other things as well. Facebook, just friend us at Iowa Catholic Radio. Twitter, you can follow at IA Catholic Radio to follow our tweets, or you can download the Iowa Catholic Radio app, and anywhere that there is a signal, you can listen live, listen to pre-recorded things, donate, all that good stuff. Today on the show, we have an Uncommon Good All-Star who's been on multiple times, because he's our good buddy, Mike Aquilina, Executive Vice President, the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and a contributing editor for Angelus News, the author of more than 50 books, including The Fathers of the Church and Villains of Early Church. He hosts the Way of the Fathers podcast for CatholicCulture.org, and edits the Reclaiming Catholic History series for Ave Maria Press. We're going to have him on today to talk about his new book, Friendship and the Fathers. Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, I am doing great. I'm just crawling out from my COVID isolation.
Oh.
So I'm just happy to be here and be audible and and all those good things.
Well, I'm glad that smell is not necessary, for the show, because at least if you're anything like me, that was certainly wrecked for months on end afterwards.
Well, that one actually did not hit me at all, so I'm grateful for that. My son-in-law had that symptom, but I did not.
Well, that's good, because Pittsburgh is full of wonderful smells. That's what Bud tells me. No,
it is.
Well, we're glad that, after we stole Bud back, that you were willing to come on the show again, so we appreciate that as well. So the new book, Bud and I were talking about it beforehand, and Bud sort of said, it's the bowling alone narrative when you're a sort of a dork like us. So Robert Putnam had a book, Bowling Alone, that talked about the sort of way in which fraternal organizations has gone away in this country. I know that that's not exactly your book, or you mentioned it, but I was going to ask you about bowling. No, I'm joking. To talk about the book, right, what prompted you to go, this is the book that is timely and needs to be read regarding friendship and the fathers?
Well, I think it's undeniable that that social isolation is an important reality today. The bowling alone narrative, as you point out. There's been this longitudinal study on friendship that's been conducted since the 1980s, and there's been a steady decline in the number of friends people report having. And we got to a point, I think the last round of numbers from it, had a quarter of Americans say that they have no friends at all, none, zero, zip, zilch, nada, and women really skew those numbers. So it's a lot of men out there who don't have friends. They don't have anyone to whom they can open their heart or confide their thoughts or ask for counsel in that way. And in England, they actually went so far as to recognize this as a public health problem. They're saying that a lot of doctors are just treating loneliness when they're seeing their patients. And so they actually instituted a few years back a ministry for loneliness, a ministry to promote friendship so that your doctor could prescribe social acts for you so that you could get out there and interact with other people and maybe, just maybe, have a friendship come out of it. We're living during times of famine and pandemic. The pandemic is not COVID. It's loneliness.
Well, Mike, and you mentioned in the introduction your book, Rodney Stark, as well. And yes. you talk some about how this reality was key. It was crucial to Christians converting so many people. And the spread of Christianity during those first few centuries is really quite astounding. In your studies of the early church, did you find that Christianity offered like a unique contribution to this idea of friendship? I know like Aristotle and others had discussed it at length before, but how, mm-hmm. you know, how did friendship play a role in the evangelization of the early Christians?
Well, both Aristotle and Cicero treated friendship kind of the way social media treat friendship. That friendship is someone or something that you can have. It's a kind of affection you can have toward or with people who share all the same opinions as you, people who share your social standing, people who have the same income as you have. And both of them really believed that that friendship between unequals was about impossible because it just complicated matters. It introduced notes of dependence into the relationship. You know, but here comes Jesus, right? And he says to these people who are manifestly unequal to him, because he's God and they're mere mortals, they're mere men, he says to them, I have called you friends. So he's modeling this relationship between unequals. And if Jesus is that open to friendship with everyone, then we've got to follow that model that he held up for us, you know, that he lived for us, that he became human for. The incarnation is the greatest act of friendship, and it modeled friendship for the early Christians.
No, I think that that's a great way to think about this. Is that clearly in your book, the friendship with God? I was just looking at chapter with Irenaeus, right? It's so because you read Aristotle, you read early ideas of friendship. I was like, oh, I wonder what Mike's going at with specific people. But of course, if we're going to talk about friendship being grounded in the Christian key, the idea that Jesus walks among us and, like you said, is the great equalizer of the most stark inequalities, that this starts to be elemental. How are we going to understand our friendship with God? And then, like you said, the implications of that start to ask, well, then who are you to decide that there's anyone on earth that is your quote-unquote unequal if God himself has decided that you are not out of the realm or pale of being not his peer, but certainly someone in which he cares enough to die for you, let alone relate to you.
Yes, and I think this was received, and it was perceived as revolutionary, that Christians were seen as so different precisely because of this. You know, today we think of evangelization as something you need a special degree for, or a special kind of blessing from the bishop for, or you have to go through some online video program to get a certification for, and it's none of those things. It's what we've been equipped for in baptism. Now, in the early church, there were no media that could be used for evangelization. And you could not stand in the public square and start shouting about Jesus Christ, because to believe in Jesus Christ and to profess Jesus Christ was a crime. And it was a capital crime. You could be executed for it on the morrow. So you didn't do that kind of thing. It wouldn't be effective. You'd have one day of it, and that would be that. The way the church evangelized during those centuries when it was growing at a rate of 40% per decade was through friendship. That's it. And that's what Stark points out in his book. Rodney Stark, he points out in his book, The Rise of Christianity. It's a sociological study of the growth during those centuries. And he just makes the case that Christians made the world Christian by means of friendship. They befriended the people next door, the people in the market stall next to them, the people they knew through their work. And in the texts that I include in my book, I tried to show how that happened.
Well, Mike, in that part of the book I found really freeing, because I grew up in a tradition where to evangelize meant sort of springing the four spiritual laws on people. So If you had like a chance opportunity in an elevator, you were supposed to impart knowledge like in that small window frame. But part of what I hear you saying in your book is like a great apostolate in a parish today would just be a group of guys who built friendships. You know, I was recently at a church in Omaha that's in sort of a blighted area The church historically was like an old Polish community. And this community has like restored the bowling alley. We started with bowling alone, I guess. And it, just like looking at some of the old black and white photos down there and things, like the entire life of the parish was, I mean, the entire social life of the community was built around the parish. Now, we might not be able to resurrect that today, but I look at, you know, when I lived in Pittsburgh, you had that great writing group that is just a group that got together once a month. But I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm formulating a good question here, but like, what could parishes take away from what we see in the early church fathers regarding friendship?
Well, I think the takeaway is really very simple. It's to make the laity feel empowered, to make them know that they have the equipment for this, because it really is no more than friendship. You know, you talk about kind of learning the spiel of the four spiritual laws and getting down your sales pitch for the elevator and all that stuff. And then people, I mean, people, some people do respond to that. Most people feel they're being played. They're being used, that this isn't a conversation that's moving toward friendship. It's being, it's a conversation that's moving toward a transaction. And I think I always recoiled from that when I was in college, because a number of my friends were involved in Campus Crusade and used to play that on me, and I didn't like it. You know, I felt like I was a project, and that bothered me. But what I like, you know, my favorite text in the book is the Octavius by Minucius Felix, which is a memoir of a weekend vacation that three lawyers took together. And it's just about the conversations they had during that weekend. Now, two of them were Christians, one of them was a pagan, and religion inevitably came up. It's interesting to note that the Christians never get into Bible thumping. What they do is they listen to the concerns of their pagan colleague. They listen to what he's saying, and they answer in terms he can understand. They never quote the Bible at him, you know. They never threaten him with hell. They never promise him heaven, but they respond to the things that are really concerning him. By the end of that weekend, that holiday weekend, which was a real event in their lives, they left as three Christians, because he had made the decision to be baptized. So this is a remarkable episode. It's preserved in great detail. It's an episode in ordinary life. Three guys going on vacation together, and it ends in this act of evangelization that's very successful. I suspect that this is the way most of the evangelization during those centuries happened. It's the only way it could happen.
Well, folks, we're talking with Mike Aquilina again, who's on the show. We have him on all the time because he's a great friend, because that's apropos to what we're talking about, his new book, Friendships and the Fathers. We're going to go to the break now, so stick around. This is Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr and The Uncommon Good, and we'll be back with Mike right after this.
I was debating an atheist online who said, "Chris, you believing in God is like a kid coming down on Christmas morning, seeing presents under his tree, and saying, 'Oh, look, presents, there must be a Santa.'" I replied, "Really? Because you not believing in God is like a kid coming down on Christmas morning, seeing presents under his tree, and saying, 'Oh, look, presents, they must have exploded themselves here.'" No child has ever been that crazy. Now, a kid might get the identity of the gift giver wrong, but when he sees presents under the tree, he knows they didn't put themselves there. Likewise, everything made of matter has a source or an origin outside of itself, from your chair to your morning coffee to you. Have you ever stopped to consider that the universe is something made of matter? It had to come from something outside of itself that had the power to create a universe. The Big Bang did not Big Bang itself. There is a God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Iowa Catholic Radio is now available on your smart speaker. Step one, say,
"Alexa, enable the Iowa Catholic Radio skill."
Or enable it through your Alexa app. Step two, say,
"Alexa, open Iowa Catholic Radio."
Now enjoy listening to Iowa Catholic Radio through your smart speaker.
Ladies, please join us for our Women's Conference, Spiritual Protection for Such a Time as This, hosted by Iowa Catholic Radio on Saturday, October 30th at the Embassy Suites downtown. The conference begins with Mass, followed by powerful national and local speakers who will give you the tools to spiritually protect yourself and your families. For more information and to register, go to iowacatholicradio.com or call 515-223-1150.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Budmar joining you this Wednesday. Thanks for being a part of the show, and thank you for being a part of Iowa Catholic Radio. Today we have back on the show Mike Aquilina, Executive Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He has written many books. We're talking about his most recent one, Friendship and the Fathers, and of course it makes a lot of sense because he's one of our friends. Mike, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me back. You guys never learn.
That's right. Deacon Tony in the back, who helps run the boards, like I think shook his head very knowingly upon hearing of that. So one of the things that I like about the book, because I like disagreeing, is you talk about friends and having disagreements. I was going to make a joke about how awkward it has to be that, like, in the Christian milieu, when the friends have to point out how unequal they are, like, you know, Mike, how if you're the superior friend do you tell the unequal one? But that's a joke. But it is truly the case, though, that I think sometimes people get the idea that to be friends, there has to be not only a modicum of agreement, but sort of like full-on agreement, and this is sort of cascades into thinking that friendship is far more impossible than it is. So for folks out there, what maybe a preview of why you think that the fathers are able to teach us about having disagreements and remaining friends.
Wow, because God so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that son loved us and loved us all, you know, without exception, and was able to be in our lives and say the hard things. And so he did all of these things to model how we're supposed to do it. To first of all, get into our lives and be there, and then say the things that need to be said. I'm drawn toward this because it's been my experience. A lot of my friends, my long-term friends, have been people with whom I disagree vehemently on important questions, you know, and we've been friends since high school or college. You know, we've managed to keep a friendship through all those years, and I consider these great friendships, invaluable friendships, and I would not dream of giving them up. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to recognize, too, that there are some parts of our lives that maybe we have to recognize, let's not talk about that right now. Now and say, you know, we don't have to do that. And friends will understand. If they really feel the need, they'll press forward, and we can try our best to go forward with it. But friends learn those skills. One of my favorite friendships in the book is the friendship of St. Basil and St. Gregory, who were men who agreed about many things, but were temperamentally very different from one another, sometimes had a hard time understanding one another, and even were estranged at various periods. And yet they clung together, and they clung to this friendship through all of those hard times, and it ended up being a lifelong friendship. It was a difficult friendship, but they were committed to it, and they were committed to its not coming to an end. And I think that we have to be that way. Think about what Jesus does in our lives. He stays there. Mm-hmm. He stays there with us unless we close the door on him and lock him out. You know, and that's the way we have to be with so many of our friends.
Mike, we just have a few minutes left, but I wanted to touch on one of my favorite chapters in the book is the chapter on Boethius. And
yes.
Boethius says something that's very counterintuitive, because I know in my own life, and I'm sure in the life of many of our listeners, like, we sort of pray for good fortune. We want God's blessing. It's just sort of a natural impulse. But Boethius, in some of his writings, says that philosophy tells us that bad fortune is actually better than good fortune. And I don't want to give the entire chapter away, but what was Boethius driving about, where we should actually welcome sometimes bad fortune into our lives?
It's one of the principles that's there in Scripture that we grow the most spiritually through sorrow. You know, it's not through good times, because you know what? In good times, we forget to say thank you to God. We forget to praise him for his glory. We just think, this is awesome, I'm enjoying this, and that's it. But we remember God in times of sorrow, and we grow in times of sorrow because we draw nearer to him. It's only in sorrow and suffering that I've been able that I've been able to believe that it's possible to pray all night, because I needed to get to the other side of this. And, you know, the night goes by, it seems, in a minute, and you never run out of things to say. I didn't think that was possible until I experienced that kind of suffering myself. You know, it's when, and then when, it may be when our children suffer or our grandchildren suffer that we learn to pray that way. We learn, we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Boethius experienced that kind of thing. You know, he was arrested on false charges. He had to endure the shame of that. He was tortured, and finally he was killed, and he knew that was coming. So he knew that it was through sorrow that he was growing, and he knew what he was growing toward.
Well, Mike, this is it brings me sorrow to say our interview's over. It's so easy to talk with you about these things, but look, so you're the Executive Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. You've written many books. We were talking about Friendship and the Fathers. So is there any place that you want to send people if they want to look for more of your books or more of the work that you do?
You know, the best place to get my books is CatholicBooksDirect.com, CatholicBooksDirect.com. They try to have the best prices for my titles.
Well, Mike, like I said, we'll have you back on the show. We appreciate it so much. Blessings, and go out there and have some friendship on the house for us.
I love you guys. All right. It's good to have you as friends.
Thanks, Mike.
Blessings. Well, folks, this is the Uncommon Make Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, our family, our city, our state, our nation, the galaxy, the whole kit and caboodle. This is the Uncommon Good. Bud, let people know how on Iowa Catholic Radio they can join our prayer life together.
Yeah, please do join into our prayer life. The rosary is available anytime on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, but it's also broadcast daily at 9:30 a.m. You can pray the Angelus with us daily at 11:55 a.m., and the Divine Mercy Chaplet is broadcast daily at 2:55 p.m. Local shows and times are also available on demand at iowacatholicradio.com and the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
And if you go to iowacatholicradio.com, you can look at all the things we're doing in and around the diocese. October is Pro-Life Month, for instance, so we are hosting a diaper drive, so please look that up. You can also, there's a Man Up Power Lunch Friday, November 12th, and I thought it said Johnny Carson, which was going to be very impressive. It's Johnny Carlson, also impressive, Ut Feedem coordinator, but not quite the event that I thought it was. Folks, just make sure to go to the website, and thank you for being a part of us, donation, your prayers, all of this very much. Thank you. This is the Uncommon Good. Bud and I will be back next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and The Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences. Learn more at mchs.edu.